Praise the Lord. Dear friends, let us start our today's reflections with a short prayer using Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Amen. Dear friends, we started studying the Bible, and so the Bible is one book, yet a collection of 73 books. This book is God's communication to us. This book is the most important book in the world, the book that influences our lives personally. Today, I would like to focus our attention on one particular aspect, that in the Bible and through the Bible, it is God who speaks to us. God speaks to us. It is God's word. Concerning the word of God and concerning revelation of God's communication to us, the Second Vatican Council has promulgated a document called Dei Verbum. We know the Vatican documents are usually entitled using the first two words, two or three words of the document. And this particular document that was promulgated on the 18th of November 1965 in the last session of the four-year-long council, this document is called Dei Verbum, God's Word or God's Revelation. And in the second article of this document, we have this. The Church Fathers tell us, it pleased God in his goodness and wisdom to reveal himself and to make known the mystery of his will. His will was that men should have access to the Father through Christ, the Word made flesh in the Holy Spirit, and thus become sharers in the divine nature. By this revelation, then the invisible God, from the fullness of his love, addresses men as his friends and moves among them in order to invite and receive them into his own company. So this is how the fathers of the church in the Second Vatican Council presented the revelation and the word of God. So the revelation comes from God's good pleasure. He was not forced by anybody. There was no necessity, but it was his good pleasure. It was from his goodness and wisdom that he revealed himself. So the fathers are telling, what is the content of this revelation? The content of the revelation is, he made himself known and the mystery of his will. God is the object of revelation, and he is also the subject. He reveals himself. And at the same time, he reveals his plan for us, the plan of salvation. And the purpose of this revelation is that we, human beings, should come to know him, know his will, and come to him. That we should have access to the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit. So the church is telling us God is Trinity. God is Father who reveals himself through the Son, the Word, and invites us to the life with him in the Spirit. So in the Holy Spirit, and thus become sharers of the divine nature. So that is the purpose of the revelation, to reveal himself and his purpose of his will, his plan of salvation, and to lead us to communion with him. And by this revelation, the invisible God, from the fullness of his love, addresses us as friends. So this is a friendly revelation. God presents himself, reveals himself as a father and as a friend. So it is a communion of love. So the word of God is addressed to us so that we may have life with him. God is speaking to us. And now we come to realize that this word of God is not just the spoken word. For example, when we take the Bible, there are various passages where it is said, God said. God said to Adam, or God said to Noah, or God said to Abraham or Moses. So several individuals are addressed, and the words of God, the communication, are reported. But not only these words, or not only the spoken words, word is a means of communion and communication. So one reveals himself, whatever one makes use of to reveal himself is the word. So here word can also mean deed. And this word of God, or this revelation of God, takes place not only through what he said, but above all from by what he did. The creation itself is God's word. That's what the psalmist is telling us. In Psalm 19, the beautiful psalm that explains that the nature is the sign of God's presence, the nature that reveals God, and is a praise of God on account of the creation. There in verses 1 to 4 of the Psalm 19, we read, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." A non-verbal communication. God is communicating himself, his goodness, his power, his glory through the creation. And anybody who looks at this creation with an unbiased and unprejudiced eye can understand the one who is behind all this, the mastermind, the master brain, and the heart that is throbbing with love and care for the entire creation. So God's goodness, God's glory, and glorious power is being revealed through the creation. The creation is the first revelation of God, so to say. And the same idea is being taken up by Paul in his letter to the Romans in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. "Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. So they are without excuse." There is no excuse for not knowing God, because God has revealed himself and his power and his glory through the creation. So the entire creation is God's revelation and is God's word. Not only the spoken word, but the actions, the deeds are also God's word. In fact, the Hebrew word dabar, which is usually translated as word, is rather an event. We can call it a word event. The word that manifests God, the word that reveals. So everything God did is also God's revelation, is also God's word. And finally, God reveals himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what John tells us in the Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. and what has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all the people. So the word of God that is manifested through the creation ultimately is revealing himself in one person, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who became flesh, as John tells in his Gospel chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word that has become flesh, and that is Jesus Christ. And the entire Bible is pointing towards this particular event of God's Word manifesting itself in flesh. And that's what the letter to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. So the entire revelation of God reaches its climax in the incarnation of the Word. So God's Word, God is speaking to us through the creation and ultimately through his Son. Now, when we speak about God's communication and God's Word, we know that God has called individuals. God called individuals to reveal himself and his plan. The revelation through the creation was not always well understood. And very often people went away from God, either willingly or unknowingly. Then it was God's plan to call them back to communion with himself. And this plan of God is called the salvific plan, and the history is the salvation history. At the beginning of the salvation history stands a person whom God addresses by name, into whose life God enters, calls him out of his security, out of his settings, and leads him into a promised land. Here starts the new beginning of the salvation history. And here God reveals himself by calling a person, Abraham, by name. We read from the book of Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is the promise, the call, the revelation, and the promise. God reveals himself to Abraham. God reveals himself as the absolute master, but also as the good shepherd, who calls his sheep and guides them to the pasture land. Now, Abraham is called by God, and God is giving him promise. So the God of Abraham is a God of promise. And there are seven promises here made. Of all these seven can be summed up as three. That God will bless Abraham with a great nation. He will be a father of nations. God will give him a land, the promised land. And ultimately, and this is the particular purpose of all this call, and that final promise is, through him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham is going to be a blessing for the nations. When God enters into the history of humanity, it's not to destroy, to condemn. It is to save. It is to redeem. It is to bring them happiness. The same thing happens in our lives. God enters into our lives to give us joy, eternal bliss, to make us live, give us life. And Abraham followed God's call, obeyed him. I take another example of this call and revelation and God's word addressed to an individual. The example I take is Moses, the great leader, through whom God led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. God encountered Moses on the mountain of Sinai in a burning bush. And God revealed himself in a very particular, so far unheard of ways. I read from the book of Exodus. We can read the encounter of Moses with God, or God calling Moses for the first time, in the entire chapter 3 of Exodus. God, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, told him. I read from chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. That's how God reveals himself. God reveals as one who is sensitive, one who is loving, caring, the one who sees the afflictions of the people, one who hears the cries of the oppressed, one who knows the anguish of the slaves. So it is no more an insensitive God. It's no more a God who hides in the sky and laughs at the people who are being brutally treated and destroyed on this earth. No. The God of the Bible is a God with a heart, a God who hears the cries, and he intervenes into this history to stop this cry, to make an end of it, to wipe out the tears and to correct the situation. God enters into the history as a liberator, as a liberator who puts an end to all oppression and slavery and leads the people out to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the land promised by God. I take another example, God revealing himself, God speaking through the prophets. First was Abraham the father, Moses the leader, and now I take one example from Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10 narrates the call of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God who calls, God who knows and pre-appoints a person, a God who calls a person and sends out him to the nations to bring his word. And God is equipping the person, the prophet, with his word. Verse 7. The Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. So that is the word of God. The prophets speak the word of God. The whole events of salvation are words of God. And ultimate word of God, as we have seen, is the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus, his life, his dealings with others, his teachings, his miracles, and also his sufferings and death, his resurrection and exaltation, all this is God's word, God's communication, and God's revelation. Now, what does God tell us? We have already seen the content of the revelation is God's nature. God reveals himself and reveals his plan of salvation for us. But at the same time, if we take the letter of Paul, the second letter to Timothy, we have a very enlightening statement about God's word. In chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 of the second letter of Timothy. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. So this is what exactly the word of God is doing us, to us. It is useful, it teaches us, it corrects us and trains us in righteousness. For in order to remember it well and easily, a friend of mine is no more, Father Leslie Rattis from Bombay, a good friend of mine. We studied together and we were ordained together. And he was a very good teacher of the scripture. And he, in a book about Bible study, has given a short form for this prophet, this Bible study and the prophets of the word of God. And he has put it in such a simple way as the word Christ. And Christ is taken as a short form. The C stands for convict. The word of God gives us conviction, first of all. The word gives us conviction about God's love, God's existence and His love and His care and concern for us. But at the same time, it also convicts of our shortcomings, our failures, our sins. The example could be that of David being confronted by Nathan. Nathan who comes to David with the word of God after the Bathsheba episode. And when David is confronted by the word of God, he sees himself as in a mirror and he is convicted of his sinfulness and he comes to confess his sin. The word of God would reveal to would make us aware of our sinfulness. It convicts us. But the conviction or convicting is not to destroy us. The second word of Christ, letter of Christ is H, and the H would stand for heal. The word of God is not just destroying us, it heals us. A contrite heart is being healed by God. God's word brings healing. We see it in so many conventions, Bible conventions, retreat centers, and also in individual cases where the people are confronted with the word of God, when they take the word into their heart and believe it and try to live it, they are healed. The hearts, the wounds of the heart are being healed. The body experiences the healing. As the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that you enter my house. Only say the word and my servant shall be healed. In everyday mass, before the communion we say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. The word of God heals. It heals the wounds of the heart. It heals individuals. It heals relations in the family, in society. It is the word of God that brings union among people, among members. The word of God reveals. The third letter is R, reveals. It reveals God. We have seen the word, the content of revelation is God and His plan of salvation. God reveals Himself. God reveals who we are, what our relation to God is, what our goal is, where did we originate, where are we heading to, how are we related to the other human beings, to the world. So the revelation concerning the origin, purpose, goal, and also the word of God instructs us. I stands for instruct, it's teaching. God, the word of God instructs us in the truth. It strengthens us, the power. We have seen that the word of God is like bread. It gives strength. It's a word that strengthens the mind, the soul, and relations. And ultimately, the word of God transforms. The T stands for transformation. Once we are touched by the word, we won't remain the same anymore. We'll be transformed. We'll be transformed into the likeness of God. That's why God has sent His word to change us, change our lives, to make us like Him, to reclaim the image that was lost. So transform our lives, transform our person. And that is the effect, the impact of the word. So God speaks to us day after day through the creation, through the fathers, prophets, ultimately through Jesus Christ. And this spoken word is contained in the written word of God, the Bible. So we read the Bible because we believe that there is life, the life that will transform our lives. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, We thank you for revealing yourself to us through the creation, through the fathers and prophets, and ultimately through your own Son, the Word made flesh. Father, we thank you also for calling us to communion with you, to a life eternal with you. We thank you for sending us your Spirit to transform our lives and make us like you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.